Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cycles of Change here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, David Katzmeier, where we have discussions on how the world around us is moving in patterns and rhythms, in the dance of the universe played out in our lives. Tonight, a guest we have is a friend and colleague, Donald Greenwell, who is joining us in our second show of the Cycles of Change. Donald himself is a radio show host. His program, Say Yes to Success, airs on Diaspora Radio every Tuesday night from 6 to 7. And his television program on the Manhattan Neighborhood Network airs every Friday at 10 p.m. You can find out more about my guest, Donald Greenwell, by going to his site at donaldgreenwell.com. Don and I have been working together. He's had me as a guest on his show as well. As we are bringing forth some messages we would like to share with other people, and sharing is a very enjoyable thing. Don has Messages for Living, where he encourages, he inspires people to find the best within them so that they may recognize it in others. And in the process, we can seek to find the human element in our lives, and to value it, remind us for what we're living for, above the acquisition of things and personal empowerment and so forth. Don and I both believe that this is where the times in the world are headed, and we are very happy to see this come about. So we seek to reinforce that notion and to bring it into our lives and hopefully spread the word on that. We believe it's happening anyway. It was an interesting set of events leading up to my meeting Don Greenwell. Back in 1993, I attended a lecture by Terence McKenna. He was speaking at the Open Center in New York in Manhattan, and I went to attend. It was very interesting to hear him talk. He was talking about the patterns of time, what he calls events of novelty, a theory that's out there. That he developed. And during the break, I went up, I spoke a little bit with Terence, and I asked him a couple of questions. I told him about my work on colorhythms, the cycles of change. This is what I have featured on my website at colorhythms.org. Consequently, he took interest in what we were talking about, and he asked me to join him for lunch. So I did. When we went to lunch, some of the other people from the lecture followed, and we found ourselves sitting at a long table with 15 people around. Terence and I sat side by side. We were talking about theories of time, and listening attentively from across the table was Mitchell Rabin of A Better World TV. You can find Mitchell's site at abetterworld.tv. He is also a radio and television host. His show is on the Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Mitchell and I have since become very good friends, and he introduced me to Phil Gruber. Phil Gruber asked me to be a speaker at the New Millennium Expo at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York in 1999. I did that. He also advised me there was another place I might want to do a talk on cycles, the Source of Life Center in New York. I spoke there, and attending that talk was Jody Sirota. Jody Sirota runs the Meta Center now in Manhattan. And it was at the Meta Center in 2007, I gave another lecture on the cycles of time. And when I went there, there was a very interesting man who, as I walked down the hall, you know, to go in and do some talk, he came up to me, introduced himself to me, He had heard me on WBAI radio. I had been on WBAI just some days before that talk. Well, we struck up an immediate friendship. I think we recognized something that, led to a rapport between the two of us, and I found out about the work that he's doing. And since then, we've had some wonderful times, and I've enjoyed his program very much. So I would advise you all that you might want to check out his programs by going to DonaldGreenwell.com. Now, I believe Donald is on the line here. I'm going to click a button, introduce you to Donald, and he has some things for us all regarding messages for living.
Hi, David.
Don, hi. How are you? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Nice to be with you tonight.
Don, would you like to tell our guests a little bit about you?
Yes, sure. I was also very happy that we happened to meet a few years back, and just found that we had a lot in common. And as we began to explore different ideas about positive living, raising one's consciousness, we had a lot of agreement about some creative ways that we could just improve the atmosphere, create a more positive environment, and media is an important way to do that. We have some wonderful tools that are available today that we can use to create positive change in the world.
And you're doing that, Don. Your site, Donald Greenwell, gives links to your radio program, your television program. You also are developing a site, poetryforever.net, where you're seeking people who want to get the word out with some of their poetic words and prose and so forth. And you're providing a means, a window, to let people share their ideas and get the word out there, which is a wonderful thing. The popularity of the social networks is because people enjoy connecting with each other, and you're using the connectiveness of this modern media to share what's in the best of us all. What a wonderful thing to share it on.
Well, I think we have a lot of hope now with the technology that's available, David, because there are a lot of people who want to see positive change in the world. You know, they see a window of hope, and you know, planet Earth can finally become a really fun place for people to really enjoy without so much struggle and stress.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we can do it one person at a time. When I hear about the pollution of the rivers and the air and the landfills and the poisons and everything like that, I decided that I wanted to change the world. So I know that I can do that, and I can clean up all the pollution in the world. Why? Not buying a particular pesticide, by making sure I sort my trash between plastic, recyclables, and so on. And I realize that the one thing that I can change in the world is myself, and that's all any of us have to do. And it goes for things that are not physical, too. If I want people to get along more and to understand each other more, then I will change the world by listening more to others rather than reacting, because there's a difference between responding to a person and reacting. And this is why I like so much of what your message is, of getting messages for living out there to people to bring out the positive, because you're right when you say that more people want to hear a positive message.
And I think that's one of the key areas, David, is we have to simply get more positive, because there's too much emphasis on the negative in our media today. And what will that do? That will just, you know, direct the energies in that pathway. So the least that we can do is to contribute what energy that we have toward a positive atmosphere, and support less with our interests the negative programming, the fear, the violence, because there's so many positive stories that never get reported. And, you know, they would encourage people. And a lot of what's important is to be encouraged each day.
Absolutely. You know, if we're going to put motion forward, well, why don't we move towards the things that attract us rather than merely move away from the things we don't like. Because it requires the same amount of motion. But when all you do is avoid the negatives and what you don't like, you don't necessarily wind up anywhere, even if you avoid being someplace you don't want to be. But it's only when you are attracted towards something where you can realize things that are greater and outside of oneself, and to realize that there are source energies of the universe that come through, manifest all around us. When we start listening to the quiet within, and start recognizing some of the benefits that we're all born with, we're already born with so many blessings, then we can recognize the opportunities of situation around us. We can recognize the blessings in others just by looking in another person's eyes.
Yes, it's very clear that there's a wonderful self-realization that's in the air. And I think as it becomes more as we see it and feel it and experience it more, there'll be less to fight about. As we begin to recognize that we have everything within ourselves, we don't have to fight and fuss to get it. As you were saying a moment ago, we go within and begin to tune in rather than to tune out to all of the gifts the treasures that we want to discover within ourselves.
Absolutely. And the reason why I think this is such an important message now, I mean, peace is an old concept, and loving one another, loving your brothers and sisters, is certainly older than the solar system. But it moves timely. It becomes popular sometimes and not as popular at other times when it can be forgotten. We can move into a very warm time, we can move into dark times. We have a Baroque era, we have a Renaissance, we have a machine age, we have an era of Romanticism. And all of that is a result of the world is moving in rhythms, just as everything in the universe does, from atoms to solar systems to galaxies to the trend of sports cars versus SUVs, or the height of skirts and the width of lapels on jackets. What I believe is happening now in the world is that we are moving away from the warlike states, and we're becoming less territorial, and we're moving more towards a virtual intellectual world and a world of free expression of spirit, rather than, you know, battling and competing for the acquisition of land and materials. It is the end of the machine age. So if that's so, where are we going now? Are we rising with our hearts and our minds? And what will these next two centuries have before us? So, Don, as we enter into a new time, as it becomes apparent the times in which we were born are fading away, what message would you have for people to remember as we move forward?
I would remind myself and those around me to be confident without being arrogant. Recognize that there is this help on the way always. There's always some sort of helper or helpers around us that see us through as we make the right choices each day. Because we get what we put out, and if we put out violence, we're going to get violence back. If we put out peace, constructive actions, we're going to get that back. As we're really zeroing in on the laws of the universe and the laws of life, it becomes a little easier, and we stop making our lives so difficult.
That's true. And we have to remember that the energy that we resonate with not only changes what we come into contact with the law of attraction and everything else, but it also changes how we affect other people. Don, you are a very inspiring person. One of the key words I've heard you use is that you wish to inspire others. In fact, you've inspired me to do this radio program. I'd thought about it before, never did anything, but when I saw what you're doing with the Yes to Success radio show and with what you're doing with your TV show, New Lifestyles TV, I realized that this is something that each one of us in our own way. You know, one of the things when I go into a convenience store or I pay across the counter at a gas station, there's a little game I like to play. Can I make the person behind that counter smile? And if I do, I have a success. And it is a small, small thing. And yet it's such a big, big satisfaction. Can I say something to make them chuckle or something warm? Because that person behind the counter has to, person after person after person, and to them, they are anonymous and they have a function and they're on their way in this transient society. Everybody's in a hurry. But a smile. And time is made of moments. And there are moments caught and moments missed. The ones that are caught are when we feel the feeling and when we respond to inspiration and seek to inspire others. So, Don, you've been very much an inspiration to me. So success right there. And I know you have been for others as well.
Well, I'm just inspired by that motivation, David. If everyone would take a few minutes out of their day and just try to bring out that positive energy in the other person, that would change the energy right there. And, I mean, that's a really good principle of life, to just to see the good and to discover that good in that person that you come across. And it really flips the script when you do that.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. It's a positive energy begets positive energy. Negative energy can beget negative energy. So, and I think that as we rise with emotional tides of energy around the world now and rise with intellectual tides of energy around the world, that is pretty much setting the pace and explaining why we have power shifts going on in the world right now. And because we are placing our values differently, and where we place them inwardly is how we manifest outwardly. So are the power centers of the world, the military-industrial complexes, which I don't want to complain too much about them. They brought us so many wonderful miracles and technological marvels. But we're leaving that. And are they focusing more on ideals and on quest for knowledge? And with that being the case, you're going to find that the focus of energy and even the geographical empowerment zones, if you will, the world, are changing as they always do. So as they change, I think it's going to be a little bit more matter of the heart and a little bit more matter of the mind rather than just power, guns, and money. And Don, people like you are sort of giving support to everybody who I think is feeling it to one degree or another right now.
Well, I think we have to continue to get these kinds of ideas out into the world, David, because it makes life certainly more fun. It strengthens relationships between people, because I'm here in New York, and you know, quite often I walk out into the world and I feel like I'm walking around a sea of aliens instead of my countrymen. You know, people have their outward masks on, and they're not really being as alive as they could because they're afraid to be vulnerable. There's the feeling of mistrust. And I think that programs like yours and mine, we're certainly going to do our very best to shift how we operate with one another. You know, why are we so afraid to be open with each other? And I think there should be more training in the areas of psychology and human behavior to just calm people's insecurities more.
Yes, and as we resonate with that in ourselves, the leaders we select, the nations we build will reflect that too. I'm just old enough to remember growing up in elementary school where we were taught how to duck under the desks in case of a nuclear attack. And so I grew up in the Cold War, and the concept of the nation state is often a very competitive one in zero-sum games where one loss is another's gain. And it is more a structure of power and dominance and hierarchies competing against one another, always for to be on the apex. Now what's happening is we're developing more of a method of cooperation, a more interactive way. Where instead of just having a hierarchy, you have anyone can communicate with any other one else in business. This is happening. It's what I call a polycephalous network instead of just one head with a few generals and then so forth. is that any department in business now can communicate with any other one. And this is happening from coming out of the shell for people, developing their businesses accordingly, to the interaction of nations. There's a great book that came out called The World is Flat, where instead of being more nationalistic in a production, you can have good resources mined in one country, made into parts in another, that are shipped off for a finished product somewhere else, and then transacted all around the world. And because national boundaries are coming down. So you talk about walking down the street, and sometimes people are used to being aliens with their guards up and everything like that. Well, it kind of reflects where we're coming from. But inside these shells, people are starting to feel a wish to cooperate. That's why the businesses have gone that way. That's why the world is becoming flat. And this is a sign of what's to come for the next 100 years, for the next 200 years. So it would be very good to reinforce that message, because I think a lot of people feel the same way as you do, and that's what they're telling me.
Well, I you and I have spoken about doing this, is getting out as a team, because I think we have a lot of good synergy, which is wonderful. And I think the first step is to inform people so they can be more transformed. Not that you and I are any gurus or geniuses, but we've discovered some important information that I think can be helpful, that can create a laugh instead of sadness. And the bottom line, give people hope for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about that hope, man. Just feeling as though it's going to be all right, even though you may not know how, but you know it's going to be all right.
You can plan for the best and prepare for the worst, but don't forget both sides of the coin. Sometimes when we prepare for the worst, we forget to plan for the best. We must be open to that as well, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. I think optimism, that childlike optimism, will never go out of style.
Nor should it. We've endured many things. We've had plagues and disease. We've had massive wars. We've believed that the end of the world was coming. And you know what? We're still here.
Well, you know, I want to commit to something with you while we're on air. I mentioned to you our taking a look at giving some millennium presentations together in the near future. And I think the power of acknowledgement is a very powerful tool to acknowledge the good things that are happening, because there's too much emphasis on the negatives. And I told you about that thank you card, of which I would love for you to be on. And basically, the card will say thank you, and it will acknowledge the many wonderful TV shows, radio shows, health services, things that we feel are clearly making a difference. Because once people become more informed of these many other sources of good news and positivity, I think they will never go back.
Absolutely. And as consumers, you know, we really do influence what's out there. Nothing is being sold that isn't being bought. I once heard it said that the bridge between love and anger is appreciation. If
yes.
we remember to show appreciation to others, then the whole interaction changes. And I would love to see this be remembered among nations. I would love to see the United States say, you know, France, that statue we got sitting out here by New York, you know, the one holding the torch,
mm-hmm.
thanks. It's
yeah.
kind of nice. We like it.
Yeah, when was the last time we did that? I can't remember. It's always sarcasm.
And, what did we get? One of the wonderful things about our country is that we like to be competitive, and that helps bring the best out of people, but it would be good to show appreciation, too. We do that many times when we help in a disaster, whenever there is the tsunami or wherever there's famines. And we often are sending people, we're sending money, we're sending food. We are a very generous people. And I would like us to remember that in all times. It, for us to forget our generous nature usually is motivated by fear or by anger or being reactionary. And that
happens
in politics, and it can happen in any nation, even our wonderful nation. I'm a little bit partial to this country because I think it's a wonderful nation. But I am concerned when politics get in the way, and I am concerned when people are dying and being injured in war. And it sometimes is unavoidable, but when it is avoidable, it's usually because we come to understanding with each other. And messages like you have in Messages for Living reinforces that there is another way. The bridge between love and anger is appreciation.
I think that's a wonderful thought as well, Dave, could be one of those great principles for this new kind of thinking. Appreciation is not new, but I think we have to find those guideposts that get us on the path, because we seem to be so stuck in the last few years. And the bottom line is we're not moving forward economically, in our relationships at home, in our relationships with other countries. The Republicans and the Democrats can't agree on anything, and it's just, you know, the stakes are too high for us to not, you know, dig in and figure out solutions yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it's not like
or
this is rocket science.
For a positive message. I hear so many people asking for a positive message, and we're coming up in a campaign season. And what I hear from people, regardless of what their political views are, they're saying, I'm tired of hearing somebody put somebody else down. Why don't you tell me why I should vote for you, instead of telling me why someone else is a bum? Because people are ready to use their positive energy. You know, Facebook is a rather successful company, and they used to have thumbs up and thumbs down buttons that you could like or you could dislike something that you saw on the web or a post that somebody made and so forth. And you know what's interesting?
What?
Responding to consumer demand, apparently, because they have so many people that use it now, they're obviously responding to what people want. You know what's missing now? The dislike button. People didn't want the dislike button anymore. And the like button has become enhanced. So the thumbs up button is the one that has survived, because that's what people want. So people are ready to start being motivated by the positive things they feel within themselves, and I think they want to see that reflected from those around. We're anxious for it.
Well, what we have to do, and I you're absolutely right, David, is figure out how to make that available to us and how we can be allowed to select that direction for ourselves. You know, because we don't want to be sort of like control so that we literally don't have the freedom to select the ways that we feel that can obviously improve the quality of our life.
Absolutely. And as we're in the last 2 minutes of the program, I would like to encourage everyone to let how you feel show and be strong enough to be vulnerable. I found that I'll take the issue of this news male thing. You know, men never cry and everything like that. Well, you didn't see me at my dad's funeral. Let me tell you something. There are two kinds of men that will never shed a tear, that will shed a tear. One is the very weak, men will shed tears. The other one, very strong men will shed a tear because they're strong enough to feel the feeling. And in between, you have repression. You don't want to do that. Let us be strong enough to not be afraid of being vulnerable and still have the good sense to protect ourselves. So, Don, in our closing 45 seconds, do you have anything for our listeners, a message that you would like to leave them with?
Well, I'm just happy that you have launched this radio program. I think it's an important program, and I'm happy to be able to interact with you. And I just want to keep expanding the teamwork, which makes the dream work. And I'm just happy that we're collaborating, because that's also a key to success during these times, collaboration, cooperation rather than competition. So I look forward to us filling up Yankee Stadium in Madison Square Garden with you and all of our friends.
Very good.
Having fun under the sun.
Okay,
thank you, David.
Great. Thank you, Don, so much.
My pleasure. All the best.